Save big money on everything for your next bathroom project. Now at Menards. Upgrade your bathroom with Max. With more than 1,000 showers, bathtubs, and surrounds, you're sure to find exactly what you need to add luxury and style to your bathroom. Save big on our entire selection of Max bathroom products. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Stephen Howson. This is my YouTube channel, and thank you for joining me. We are going to talk about how Manchester United are going to win the league. And I know you're all sitting there thinking, that's a bold statement, Stephen. And do you know what? It is a bold statement. I was going to call this video, How Manchester United Can Improve. But then when you think about it, we came second, and you go, the only way to improve is to win the league, isn't it? So let's be bold. Let's say Manchester United can win the league, and this is how we do it. So before we say how Manchester United are going to win the league, we have to look at what happened last season, because what happened last season is so pertinent to what's going to happen this season. Now, we started out in magnificent form, doesn't it? Cash your minds back. It's not black and white. It wasn't 15 years ago. It wasn't under Fergie, but 4-0 FC existed this time. No, 11 months ago. We were smashing teams. We were putting them to the sword. And people will say, we only scored late goals. So, as long as you score within 90 minutes, that's all that matters. That's Bayern Munich. As long as you score before the referee blows the final whistle, that's happy days. And United put four past a lot of pretty decent sides at that point as well. So why was United so good in that early part of the season, and what happened to change that that had a big effect on us? Now, people say the tactics against Liverpool took the confidence out of players. I'm not sure that was the case, although I'm not ruling it out completely as a factor. I think it had a lot more to do with Mkhitaryan than a lot of us are prepared to admit, to be brutally honest with you. Now, Mkhitaryan was inconsistent, and I'm going to come to the comments as well, so definitely get your comments in. I'm going to come to the comments after the end of this, once I've gone through all the points I wanted to set out. He was inconsistent, which ultimately led to his downfall at Manchester United. And I think his personality wasn't one of those that Jose thought was strong enough to sit around and play for Manchester United, is what the word is. But Mkhitaryan's ability to carry the ball from midfield was something that United lacked when either he went missing during the games with his inconsistency, or when he was ultimately removed from the team. Now, Jesse Lingard stepped into that role admirably, but he doesn't carry the ball forward in the same style or manner that Mkhitaryan did. Now, he finished the season with 13 goals, which is the best that he's ever done, and he offers a totally different threat. Like I said, I don't think he's quite the level that Mickey is carrying the ball forward, although he's still very good at it. He offers somewhat more of a more... He offers better link-up play, I think, and he's certainly someone who offers a better defence, aggression in defence, pressing from the front, which is something that you don't really expect with Lukaku. You certainly don't expect it with Mkhitaryan. And it's obviously more in line with what Jose Mourinho wants. Now, a lot of people also like to point out Lukaku as well. Now, Lukaku's form dropped, but it didn't really drop because consistently his chance conversion was around about the same. There was at no point that it peaked or troughed. It was pretty level all the way throughout the season. What happened was his volume of shots changed. Or more likely, the United's ability to find him, coupled with probably opposition figuring out that Lukaku was such a linchpin in that 4-0 FC team. I mean, he went through a hell of a run scoring consecutive games at the start of the season. The odds that an opposition team saw what the threats were with Lukaku and started to double mark him. You can see it at set pieces, you can see it at corners. Lukaku gets nothing because he's literally got people wrestling with the guy. And United's inability on the counter-attack as well, which we're going to get into in a little bit, really hindered what Lukaku was going to do because it's easy to box him off. So for all the critics that he had Lukaku last season, he was still more clinical than Harry Kane over the course of the season. Kane scoring 16% of his shots, Lukaku scoring with 17% of his shots. Lukaku's also contributing to the team play a little bit more, as he was involved in three times the number of assists and also creating more chances per game than Harry Kane was. But these are the narratives that we have to live with United fans, isn't it? Per game, Paul Pogba pulled out more goals and assists than Kevin De Bruyne, but people will literally go blue in the face and tell you that's incorrect, or they don't agree with those stats. I don't know how you don't agree with a stat. It's a stat. So for me, the biggest issue for United was the build-up play. The time that it took to transition from being a defensive unit into an attacking unit, once we won the ball, a slow, methodical build-up was killing the momentum, and it was allowing the defence to get back, mark, and take the initiative away from us. And I think people underestimate the the impact that upgrading the fullbacks can have. Last season, City spent 100 million on fullbacks, and people, myself included, sort of piss out of them for that. Mainly as we was mainly taking the piss out of the fact that City had had this defensive fragility in the previous season, and we thought that Pep was just throwing money after it when we could see it was more of a systematic thing rather than individual personnel thing. But what we saw when he did get the new fullbacks in was the attacking transformation in Manchester City. Because City, the previous season, and we're looking at this City team, what they did last year, but you've got to remember the year before, they was worse than what United was last season. They finished third, and they held possession in the back two and with the keeper Bravo, big time. And it was boring. People won't admit it, but it was boring. When they upgraded the fullbacks, they immediately started holding their possession around midfield and further forward. And I think that's what Manchester United could do if we upgraded our fullbacks, because I don't think either our fullbacks are good enough in possession. Obviously, there's a double-edged sword with buying a fullback. Half of their game is predicated on what they do as a defensive personality, and the other half, probably a little bit more than half, as a Manchester United player, is expected to be what you can do to contribute to the team going forward. And for me at the moment, Ashley Young and Antonio Valencia as first choice fullbacks are not producing in the attacking phase, and I think that is where Manchester United have got a massive opportunity to upgrade. So I would like to see United upgrade and invest in both fullback areas. I don't think they will. I'm very sure that we're going to upgrade with Sandro, but I think it'll probably just be Sandro that we get. And I think another centre half could have a big impact as well, because defensively we're not bad. It's more of the organisation and the concentration, because if you look at what caused United's downfall last season, it wasn't our record against the top six, which was actually the second best against the top six. There's room for improvement. I think, you know, the way we lost to Spurs in January, that was a terrible performance from us. We lost to Chelsea earlier in the season. We could have turned that around, perhaps. Losing to City at home was a little bit unfortunate, but I think that we can turn some of those results around. They're not the results that are going to be whether you win or lose a league. I don't think United are going to get 100 points this season. But I don't think you need to get 100 points, because I don't think Manchester City are going to replicate what they did with 100 points. I think 90 points would be enough to see United over the line as champions. So we only need to find three games or a couple more draws that United can turn around. Now, Stoke away, 2-2. Do you know what? They happen in a season. Let's leave that one alone. Draw away at Anfield. At the time, was trying to tell people this is a good result. Let's leave that alone and let's leave that at 1 point. Huddersfield away the week after. That's the sort of game that United have to turn into 3 points. So let's say we can turn that one into 3 points. We need to find another six. We got Chelsea in November and we lose. Do you know what? That happens a lot. Let's leave that one alone. City come to Old Trafford and beat us. You can't be losing at home to your main rivals. I would like to take a point out of that. So we need 5 more points to get the 90. I can give us 6. Leicester away, Burnley at home, Southampton at home. Teams of that ilk should be getting beat by Manchester United in those circumstances. That brings us 6 points, and that puts Manchester United potentially on 91 points going into next season. And that still allows a defeat at Tottenham. It still allows a defeat at Newcastle. It still allows a defeat at home to West Brom, away to Brighton, and a draw with West Ham. So we don't have to be perfect to be able to pull a title in. 91 points is going to see you as champions in the vast majority of Premier League seasons, and that should be Manchester United's goal. Forget about trying to catch 100 points, because that is, it's not once in a lifetime, but it's extremely rare. And I don't think City are going to be as potent as they was last season. Manchester United won 3 on the bounce. 1999, 2000, 2001. We added Juan Sebastian Veron to a perfect midfield of Roy Keane and Paul Scholes, and we still had David Beckham and Ryan Giggs at their peak. We'd won a treble in the middle of all this lot. We had Sir Alex Ferguson as manager. You buy Sebastian Veron, you go, we're not going to fucking lose a game next year. This is going to be easy. And Arsenal win the league. You sometimes can upset the apple cart by trying to force in something that wasn't needed. And when I look at Pep Guardiola's signings, that's something that I see happening. I don't think they needed Mahrez. And I think him trying to fit Mahrez in to Sterling and Bernardo Silva and all of these players, someone's ego is going to get put out of joint. These are top-class footballers we're talking about here. And I only think you need to be 1% better off, 1% less lucky than he was last season. And they're still going to be there or thereabouts. They're going to be around the 90-point mark. I think it'll be a lot closer than it was last season, though. In terms of formation, what I would like to see from United going into this season, I really think that the 4-2-2 is a formation that really would get the best out of what Jose Mourinho wants in a team and what Manchester United can do as a unit going forward. Now, flat back four, I like the idea of playing three at the back, but I don't think United have got the personnel for it just yet. It's basically the team that we've already got. I could see us upgrading Lindelof for somebody like Alderweireld or even a Bonucci. And it could be Lindelof and Bonucci, or it could be Bailly and Bonucci, and I think that would be pretty formidable. I think Alexandro at left-back, right here, is going to be one of the ones that makes an absolute massive difference to us. And we can make do with Valencia on the right. Then it's a midfield unit in the 4-2-2 system with Fred alongside Matic, allowing Pogba to push up, giving a little bit more of a free role and more responsibility in the final third, alongside Jesse Lingard, who's going to drift right, who's going to come through the middle as Lukaku starts to drift right. And I think he's earned the right to be given that opportunity from there. Up front, of course, it's going to be Romelu Lukaku, and I would expect Sanchez to be featured alongside him as well. Where this could get tricky is if the rumours about Gareth Bale are coming in, you're not going to play this formation. If the rumours of Perisic coming in are true, you're not going to play this formation. And that's where you might switch it to maybe a 4-3-3 or something along those lines. But for me, I would like to see United setting up in a 4-2-2. Not least because I think that Lukaku really feeds off someone quite close to him. And I think that was one of the major issues last time, is that you can mark Lukaku. He's still going to score 20-odd goals like he did, and he's good. He had a great haul in his first season. But you can mark the guy. When you play two strikers, let's let teams worry about us for a second. Two strikers or somebody off him like Sanchez, and allowing Lingard to drift in as well, and fullbacks that are pushing on deep, but you've still got that solidity at the back because you've got two, you know, box-to-box midfielders there in Matic and Fred. I think that's a way for Manchester United to really cause havoc in the final third, and that's what I'd like to see. But again, I want to know what you guys are thinking. Let me know in the comments. Some people asking about Dalot, what's going to be going on with Dalot, Dalou. I think he's going to be a backup. He's going to be a reserve. He's going to basically take the role Damian's been taking this season. If someone's injured, if it's time for a rest, it's time for a break, he's going to be the guy that comes in. So get your questions in. I'm going to start reading through some of the questions, and let's talk about the youth prospects. So obviously the tour is about to kick off tomorrow night, or Friday morning if you're in the UK. Is going to be the first tour match. We've got a couple of MLS opponents for the first lot, and there's a lot of youngsters gone on tour. Greenwood obviously being the headline at 16 years of age is a phenomenal talent. And what an opportunity for this guy if he gets any minutes while he's over there. And I think because of the situation with Sanchez and his passport, there is an actual real chance that Mason Greenwood could be given 5 or 10 minutes on a tour. And it might be enough. He's unbelievable. But I think the real prospects that we should be looking for on the tour is Andreas Pereira. He's been away from United now for a couple of years. Let's see what he can do in a United shirt on tour again. I thought he looked pretty good on tour last season before he went on loan. Is this the time for him now, make or break at United? I'd love to see him stick around for 12 months and get 15 games, 20 games, you know, with a handful off the bench. Fosu Mensah, another good... He started off on loan last season and absolutely smashed it. Now, he might be the guy that can overtake what we've got or blend in with what we've got with Tony Valencia. His positioning's still a little bit rash, and I think that's probably what's going to be holding him back from playing as a number six. But when he's on the ball, he's an absolute force of nature. And I think at right back, yes, there's a couple of issues with his defensive positioning and this, that and the other. But when he's got the ball, he's got a hell of a cross on him. And I would put money on Fosu Mensah to be able to find Lukaku with a good regularity. Chong and Gomez are the ones that everyone's bursting to see. I think Chong could really set this tour alight. I think he's got the attitude, I think he's got the ability, and I think he's got the sort of skill set that fans are going to be on their feet with watching. And I think those that are lucky enough to be over in America and going checking the games out, they're going to absolutely smash it, and they're going to love watching him. He's aggressively direct with the ball. He just loves to run at defenders, and because he's pretty adept with both feet, he can go either side of them, and that's going to be something that causes those MLS teams, if he gets the opportunity against them, a lot of problems. Gomez is a different prospect. I really struggle to see how he fits into what Jose Mourinho uses as a system. He's not a winger, and he's not fast, which I've seen some people who clearly have no fucking idea what they're talking about say that he is. And he's not like Ronaldinho. If I could compare him to one player, it's going to be someone like an Iniesta. Someone that can drop deep, start dictating play from there, but he's ultimately effective on the edge of the box, on the edge of a D. I wouldn't really even call him a number 10. I think he's a bit different to that. But he's someone that you want setting up the pre-assist. You want someone who's playing that final ball or getting on the end of him himself. He's good from set pieces. His link-up play is unbelievable. His touch is from God himself. but his height is probably going to be an issue. Now, what you notice even at under 18 level is he has fouled a hell of a lot. And if United have got someone who can stick a free kick away, to be honest, that's an asset, isn't it? We saw at the World Cup how many games are decided on free kicks and set pieces, especially with the England side scoring, I think, 12 goals from set pieces. If you've got someone who can deliver something from set pieces, then that's a brilliant asset to have. Someone who gets fouled the way they get fouled. I mean, think about Marouane Fellaini coming up against Angel Gomez. Can you imagine how many fouls that he would give away playing against him? Well, there's a lot of players like that. Certainly a lot of old defenders that Gomez can absolutely take the piss out of. So Claudie saying 4-triple-2 would leave us vulnerable on the wings. I prefer to us to play a 4-4-2 diamond with Matic sitting in front of the defence, Pogba on the left, Herrera on the right, and Lingard at the top of the diamond. To be honest, Claude, there's not much difference between... Do you want to bang the team sheet up again? There's not much difference here between what you're saying there in terms of a 4-triple-2 or the diamond. It literally just moves like that, and it does kind of leave you vulnerable on the wings, but in a defensive shape, this would look like a traditional 4-4-2. And we saw that against Chelsea. Or you might see it, whereas Pogba and Lingard are going to come wider and then Matic and Fred are going to be the ones that track into the wings. It depends on where the ball's coming through. We saw against Chelsea last season, it was vulnerable on the wings, but I think that was them trying to isolate Ashley Young more than it was that this is the positional fragilities with that. And they switching play left, right and centre with it as well. What are we saying? Let's be realistic. Gomez and Chong aren't going to make us champions in 18-19. We need a game changer, whether that means buying Bale or utilising Pogba. I disagree with you, mate. It might be enough that one of those lads can come on and get you a goal in a game that you was drawing. That might be enough to turn us into champions. United are not far away. As we went through the fixtures earlier, there's not a hell of a lot that we need to change. We have got some world-class players in our team. We just need to get them moving in the right direction. Any other comments? How big do I think not signing Perisic was? We were going to play 3-5-2. I do think we was going to play 3-5-2. I do think we was going to play 3-5-2. And then as soon as the transfer window closed and we came back out of pre-season, we was playing 4 at the back. And you think, what sort of preparation is it to play a formation that we didn't use again until Watford and Arsenal? Was that November when we used those? Let's have a look. I've got the fixtures up here. Watford 28th of November and Arsenal 2nd of December. That was when we switched back to playing a 3-5-2 formation. And yeah, there was obviously some reason for playing it in pre-season, but it would make a lot more sense to go with the formation you was going to play for the season. We'll never know how big a miss Perisic was. Would we have overtook City's 100 points? Probably not. So at best, we're probably still second, but we might have felt a little bit better about it because it was bad at times last season, wasn't it? And ultimately, we might have got past Sevilla only to lose in the next round or whatever. Did someone compare Fosu Mensah to Ronaldinho? No, Gomez to Ronaldinho. Who's the backup for Matic? Yeah, probably Scott McTominay, possibly Timbo, although he's he's more of a Kante style of a number six. I don't know, to be honest. He's bulletproof, isn't he, Matic? You hope that he doesn't miss any games whatsoever. And this is a place where Daley Blind could have come in. But obviously, Mourinho doesn't like him. What about Marshall? I don't think he'll be here, mate. That's the bottom, top and bottom of it. Liverpool are favourites. What was that? I just missed that one. We should be challenging for the title, and I highly doubt youth will give us that push we need to get to the next level. Why? If they're good enough, they're going to come in and do a job. In 1995, United got rid of Andrei Kanchelskis, Paul Ince and Mark Hughes, and everyone thought Fergie had lost his absolute mind. But he brought through David Beckham, Nicky Butt, Paul Scholes and Gary Neville, and United won a double. That was after not winning the league the year before. I can't find that comment about Liverpool. What was it? But Liverpool are...
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by shipping cheap parts around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Skip the tariff and snag yourself American-made clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.